This is the 22nd study in the book of Daniel. I've entitled it The Major Resurrections and Judgments in the Bible. It is probably a multi-Sunday topic, two, maybe three Sundays, because there is so much here. And it reflects some thinking and study that I've been doing over the last few months concerning the topic. I'm not done yet, but I wanted to present this, and I will welcome input from those who are physically here listening to this today. So, from Daniel 11:36 through 12:13, particularly the major resurrections and judgments in the Bible. In Daniel chapter 12, we find a revelation of one of the major resurrection and judgment texts in Scripture. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, and some to others to shame and everlasting contempt. Who gets raised then, and when does this happen? There are three other main resurrections in the Bible, I believe. Who's involved in these? Remember that resurrection in the Bible means a physical coming out of the grave. This is because, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, an individual is not complete in God's sight after death unless eventually his body, soul, and spirit are put back together. So resurrection means the inanimate part of you, the non-physical part of you, is put together with the physical, with, of course, a new body, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Connected with the resurrections in Scripture, as in Daniel 12:2, are judgments. Hebrews 9:27 says, "As it is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment." So all human beings who die during this life will have their whole selves put back together, body, soul, and spirit, followed by judgment, and followed then by either eternal joy with God or eternal separation from God. This study is then devoted to identifying, number one, the groups who will be raised and judged, number two, the resurrections in Scripture that the groups will experience, and number three, the judgments associated with the groups. And fourth, the point at which they receive new bodies. Some of the groups that we will identify, for some of them it's not clear when they will be raised and when they will be judged. For some it is very clear. So this is in a sense a tentative study because there are so many things involved. And because there are things that, quite frankly, I haven't figured out yet. So the task for you is to attempt to extend my work where you can or correct me if necessary. So first of all, the major resurrections and judgments. Key, central, or major resurrections and judgments. I see four major or key resurrections and judgments in the sense that they are identified as resurrections and or judgments and have groups associated with them. In chronological order, the resurrections are these. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture of the church at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, the first major resurrection of a number of people. The second in chronological order is apparently Daniel chapter 12, which we'll read in a moment. Verse 2, the resurrection of Jews of all ages, along with some unsaved being judged at this point, raised and judged. The third resurrection is in Revelation 20, which is of believers martyred during the 70th week. A little while later, but probably no more than 7 years after Daniel chapter 12. No, in fact, let me correct that. It would be essentially the same time as Daniel 12. Revelation chapter 20, the fourth, would be the great white throne, resurrection, and judgment just before the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. Similarly, there are four main judgments here in chronological, along with their purpose, and three out of the four are like they occur at the same time as three of the resurrections. First is the judgment seat of Christ, apparently right after the rapture, resurrection of dead believers at the end of this age, and the taking of living believers. The outcome is rewards there. Second is Daniel chapter 12, for entrance into the kingdom. This would occur at the beginning of the kingdom. The third is the sheep and goats parable judgment in Matthew, given by the Lord Jesus Christ, again for eligibility for entrance into the kingdom or eternal loss. And the fourth, again, the great white throne judgment. Three of the four judgments occur at the same time as three of the four resurrections. The difference is the first resurrection in Revelation 20 for believers who died during the 70th week, and the sheep and the goats. Those two are the differing point. There are other resurrections, for example, in Scripture. For example, the resurrection of Lazarus. But I do not consider this to be a major resurrection event, since it only concerned one person. We usually think of resurrection as someone coming out of the ground, but in Lazarus' case, he was not in the ground, he was in a room, but nevertheless raised from a dead condition. Similar is the resurrection of pre-Pentecost believers who came out of their graves in Jerusalem at the point of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember at the time of Jesus' death on the cross, there was an earthquake in Jerusalem, and there was the graves were opened. The veil in the temple before the Holy of Holies was split. So three events there, and this was one of them. Believers from before the beginning of the church, a few days before the beginning of the church, who came out of their graves in Jerusalem and walked around the city. But they apparently died again and will be resurrected again with perhaps, probably, Abraham. So there are many probabilities in this study, and that's for you to work on. Those are assignments for you when I have the word probably. There are some very unique events in regard to judgment. For example, the thief on the cross, who was to be with Jesus in paradise the same day, he would have to be resurrected from death, but also, assuming he died on the cross, which is likely, but also, does he skip judgment to go directly to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know. Would he ever face a judgment? And what about Enoch and Elijah? They skipped resurrection, as will all Christians who are alive at the rapture. If Jesus comes this afternoon, you and I will experience what Enoch and Elijah experienced. We will not go through death. We'll go directly to be with the Lord. But does the unique experience of Enoch and Elijah imply that they entered directly at that point into eternal fellowship with God without any judgment? Don't know. I would say probably, but there's another task for you to work on. Scripture does not say. Living Christians at the rapture will not need to be resurrected, but eventually judged. So if the rapture occurs this afternoon, we are taken to be with the Lord. No resurrection from death necessary for us, just the rapture, but we will eventually be judged. So now, some important scripture passages that show major resurrections and major judgments. So here's major resurrection number one of four. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. It's the resurrection of the dead in Christ at the rapture before the 70th week of Daniel. It is the pre-tribulation rapture, which I believe is biblical. So here's what Paul says. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. The Thessalonians were concerned that the believers in Thessalonica who had died would be missed when Jesus came to take believers to be with him. And Paul is assuring them, no, that's not the case. In fact, they're going to go first. You need to be, he says, comfort yourself with these things. Verse 15, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep is a euphemism for die. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. This event, especially this description in verse 16 and the surrounding events, the things that happen, are not descriptions of the second coming of Christ. This is a coming before his second advent to take the church to be with himself. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's not like the second coming. The second coming described, among other places, by Zechariah chapter 12, he'll come to the Mount of Olives. And Revelation 19, he will come on a white horse. That's not here. This is different. We who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the air, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is the great hope of the church, to be taken to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and escape the 70th week of Daniel. Here's major resurrection number two. It's the prediction in Daniel 11 and 12, particular verse, chapter 12, of, first of all, the king who does as he pleases. We'll read this in a moment, or he's sometimes called the willful king, the one who does his own will, something like that in the King James. He's the world ruler of the 70th week of Daniel, and his defeat is described here, and the resurrection and judgment that occur when Jesus returns. So here's Daniel 11:36 through the end of chapter 12. The king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god. He's the world ruler of the end times, and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been determined must take place. He will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the one desired by women, nor will he regard any god, but will exalt himself above all. That verse has been taken by some to suggest that this world ruler will be Jewish. Verse 38. Instead of them, he will honor a god of fortresses, a god unknown to his fathers. He will honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and costly gifts. He will attack the mightiest fortresses with the help of a foreign god and will greatly honor those who acknowledge him. He will make them rulers over many people and would distribute the land at a price. At the time of the end, the king of the south will engage him in battle, and the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships. He will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land, must be Israel. Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. He will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt with the Libyans and Nubians in submission. So this world ruler of the end times will be gathering together nations to, as Zechariah 12 tells us, to gather them against Jerusalem. But reports from the east and the north will alarm him, and he will set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. According, thinking about this in relation to all of the Old Testament, that this has to be Jerusalem. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him. Chapter 12. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. This is Zechariah 10 and 11 and 12, and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to save physically one-third of the people of Israel, and they are also spiritually saved at that time. So Daniel, apparently these are all words given by Gabriel, records multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. In the context, in the flow from chapter 11 to chapter 12, this must be at the beginning of the kingdom, at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, parallel to Zechariah 10, 11, and 12, and Revelation 19. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. It's good to be a soul winner. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed." I heard but did not understand, so I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end." Are we living in times when these things are beginning to be opened? Well, we can, as we have seen already today, we can begin to relate in some degree of detail the things of the book of Daniel with the events around us. It would be a time, verse 8, "I heard but did not understand, so I asked my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. Some dispute about the meaning of those lengths of time, but they pertain to undoubtedly the 70th week of Daniel. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise." That's the same as verse 2. to receive your allotted inheritance, Daniel will be raised. So that's major resurrection number two. Must occur at the end of the 70th week. After verse 45 of chapter 11, the end of the world ruler of the 70th week. So major resurrection number three is in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. This is the resurrection of 70th week martyrs, apparently at the end of the 70th week, beginning of the kingdom, and this would coincide apparently with what we just read in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 at the beginning of which occurs at the beginning of the kingdom. So two pre-kingdom resurrections, but they're described very differently in two different groups of people. John says, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. These are believers who have come out of the 70th week of Daniel. They came to life. That means they were resurrected, came back to physical life, and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Parenthetical, the rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. End parenthesis, this is the first resurrection. So there are two resurrections in Revelation 20. That's the first of the two, but in our accounting this morning, it's the third of the majors in Scripture. Now, major resurrection number four, Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 through 15, known as the Great White Throne Judgment. It is the resurrection and judgment of all who have not yet been raised or judged up to the point of the end of the kingdom. Verse 11 of Revelation 20. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. This is the beginning of the reshaping of the heavens and the earth. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. So a single book, groups of books. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. There's resurrection to bring people to the great white throne judgment. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. So death and Hades, confinement of the unsaved dead up to this point, is changed, and they will all be thrown into a lake of fire for eternal punishment. The lake of fire is the second death. So relative to people who had died physically, were resurrected for this judgment, that lake of fire is like a second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Who's judged at this judgment? Who's raised and who's judged? We'll talk about that later. And now the four, what I consider to be the four major judgments, so four resurrections, four major judgments in Scripture. The first is the same as our first resurrection. It is the judgment of believers following, it's the same group, that is, and apparently takes place about the same time. Rapture of the church, resurrection followed by the judgment seat of Christ. This is for Christians only, and it must occur right after the rapture. Paul says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things while done in the body, whether good or bad. This is not a judgment for eligibility for eternal life. That's been settled in this life by believers during this age. And this is, again, for believers during this age. The issue at the judgment seat of Christ is your works. No Christian can be condemned in the presence of God for their sins. Otherwise, Jesus' sacrifice would have failed. Major judgment number two, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. So there is a resurrection of the saved and unsaved in Daniel 12:2, and this implies a separation for judgment. Resurrection of two groups. Everlasting life versus shame and contempt. Two different directions are the outcome of that judgment. Since this is connected in Daniel 12 with the end of the 70th week of Daniel at the end of chapter 11, with the demise of the world ruler at that time, and therefore connected with the beginning of the kingdom, it apparently occurs at the second coming of Christ. Major judgment number three, and this is something that's different from major resurrection number three, which was a resurrection of tribulation period martyrs. This is the sheep and goats judgment of Matthew 25:31. And again, the timing of this is also connected with the beginning of the kingdom. We'll see as we read it in a moment. The subjects are people who are alive from the nations at that time. There's no resurrection mentioned, again, only judgment. So we'll read this later in the study at more length, but here are verses 31, 32, and 33 of Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, second coming, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. He's separating people from the nations, apparently alive, all alive at that time. Some go to eternal punishment. This is kingdom entrance eligibility judgment here at this point. And key judgment number four, great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. It occurs after the kingdom, just before the creation, or at the edge of the creation of the new heavens and earth. And verse 15 here may allow for some believers to be subjects of this judgment. We'll talk about that later. But you can be thinking about that. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence. There was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is a book of life. We saw this. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each person was judged according to what they had done. So judged according to the books, every person at this judgment is judged for what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. Again, we should emphasize that salvation is entirely by faith. No one will be judged for their eligibility for eternal life on the basis of their works. So Scripture everywhere says that if you are doing good works before God, it's because you are already righteous by God, by salvation. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, before we finish, I just want to get into the groups associated with resurrections and judgments. It appears to me that we can identify 9 groups who are the subjects of resurrection and/or judgment. In approximate chronological order of the groups of people being alive on earth, except for the last one, these are as follows. The first is Gentiles saved before Pentecost, which was the start of the church. And here you will see that we are differentiating. By differentiating groups, we are differentiating God's purposes throughout history. He is not working with one group. He works with several different groups. And that's important for understanding God's plan of the ages. So the first here is Gentiles who were saved before Pentecost, the start of the church age. So we have people in this group such as Abel, Noah, Melchizedek. Anyone saved up to Genesis 12, which was God's calling of Abraham, the start of Israel. So, pre-Israel believers. And pre-Pentecost believers, I'm sorry. And that would include pre-Israel believers too. Second group. Jews saved before Pentecost. And here we would have Abraham and his descendants saved up to the beginning of the church. And so included there would be Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and so on. Third group, Jews and Gentiles saved during the church age. Here, you're in number 3. You're in group number 3. You have a group for yourselves. That is all Christians. The people that God is working with from Pentecost, Acts 2, to the rapture. A fourth group that are connected with, as a group with one resurrection and judgment or the other, is Jews and Gentiles saved during the 70th week, but who didn't die then. Some people get saved during the 70th week, and they would go straight into the kingdom. I can't give you any names, that's still future. A fifth group, Jews and Gentiles saved in the 70th week, but who died during the 70th week for the Lord Jesus Christ. So 4 and 5 are 2 different groups. Saved people who don't die in the tribulation, in the 70th week in the tribulation, and Jews and Gentiles who die that time and during that time for Christ. A sixth group, Jews and Gentiles who were saved in the 70th week, but died natural deaths. So 4, 5, and 6 are all people saved during the 70th week of Daniel. A seventh group, Jews and Gentiles who are saved during the kingdom, but then who died during the kingdom, and I believe there will be death during the kingdom. We'll talk about that later. And similarly, number 8, Jews and Gentiles who are saved during the kingdom, but they're alive, they live toward the end of the kingdom, and they're saved during the kingdom and still alive when Jesus returns. Keep in mind, when he returns, there will be unsaved people, and most of them will be gathered together against Jerusalem. But there will be undoubtedly believers too. And a final group, Jews and Gentiles, never saved since creation. Never saved. Now, with regard to group number 7, Jews and Gentiles who are saved during the kingdom, then died during the kingdom. The question arises as to whether or not anyone dies during the kingdom. But from Isaiah 65, 20, it appears that people will die during the kingdom. Here's Isaiah 65, 20. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies, this is particularly what seems to suggest people will die during the kingdom. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. In other words, people will live a long time, but apparently still die. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. And that is almost a clear statement that some people will die during the kingdom. So we still have to account for the resurrection and judgment of such individuals. You can read discussions of this online if you'd like, and I've given you a reference there. Let's stop at that point, and we will resume. I'd like you to consider for our study on Wednesday, if you agree with the division into four major resurrections, four major judgments, and the division into these nine groups of people. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word, for what it tells us about what you are doing and going to do with humanity. Thank you for revelations in Scripture about these very serious things, resurrections and judgments. Thank you that as we know the Lord Jesus Christ today, we can be certain that we will be taken to be with him before the horrors of the 70th week of Daniel. That's a biblical promise. Among the many teachings about resurrection and judgment, we know what's going to happen to us. We give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen.